It's an update to what we talked about yesterday, the Boeing whistleblower who died very suddenly in the middle of doing this testimony. He's been working on this stuff for years. His attorneys were amazed at all this stuff, and now they're speaking out even more. And it gets even more suspicious. And this is actually an article coming from a leftist publication. He was in very good spirits, said his lawyers, and he was really looking forward to putting this phase of his life behind him and moving on. They did not see any indication of a suicide risk with this Boeing whistleblower, who, with all the things that were happening with Boeing, just suddenly shot himself, they say, in his car or something. The 62-year-old Louisiana-based whistleblower traveled to Charleston, South Carolina, to finally be deposed for his 2017 OSHA complaint against his ex-employer, when his attorney, Brian Knowles, told the Corporate Crime Reporter blog that he failed to show up at one of the sessions over the weekend. In an initial autopsy report, the coroner's office said that the 32-year Boeing employee, he was 62 years old, but he'd worked for them for 32 years, appeared to have died from self-inflicted gunshot wound. But his lawyers are urging investigators to take a closer look. They said John was in the midst of a deposition in his whistleblower retaliation case, which finally was nearing the end, they said. He was in very good spirits and really looking forward to putting this phase of his life behind him and moving on. We didn't see any indication that he would take his own life. No one can believe it. Although Barnett did not indicate that his time at Boeing, where he spent 32 years in quality control and multiple decades as a manager, resulted in stress, they said previous reports have not suggested that he had any deeper mental health issues or experienced any suicidal ideation. And so Futurism writes, to be fair, people who plan to end their lives don't always show visible signs of risk. But given that Barnett was, as his attorneys point out, nearing the end of his protracted battle, the circumstances surrounding his untimely death do indeed seem eyebrow raising. Over and over again, we see people who are whistleblowers talking about very powerful institutions, and then suddenly they commit suicide, and nobody can understand why that is happening. Doesn't seem like there's any, and this is another one of those. The whistleblower's attorney said in their statement that they urge investigators to look into his death fully and accurately, and added no detail can be left unturned. We are all devastated. We need more information about what happened to John. Well, as we see that, there's a documentary, four-part true crime series documentary. It's on Netflix. Maybe you've seen it. American Conspiracy, The Octopus Murders. And this is another person who committed suicide. Can't understand that. An expose about the irrevocable damage that can come from falling down the rabbit hole. The political conspiracy of the century. But as I said, since this is a Netflix document, the documentary, the people that did it, they said it becomes a portrait of the hazards opposed by such thinking. So I guess I'm going to pass on this. They're going to make this and say, see, he just fell into this rabbit hole as a conspiracy theorist. But they said it was designed to make one's head spin until it hurts. American Conspiracy, The Octopus Murders, the tale of Danny Casolaro, a writer who was found dead in a Sheraton Hotel bathtub. Police swiftly dubbed this a suicide, since he had been alone and his wrist had been cut and he had left a farewell note. Those closest to the outgoing and loving man, however, thought otherwise. And here's why. His wrist had 12 separate slash wounds that were so deep that they severed the tendons. So how do you do that? How do you sever all the tendons on this hand, and then he takes that hand and he severs the tendons on the other one? Moreover, there was blood all over the room in places that made no sense if he had been simply ending his own life. Most suspicious of all, though, was the fact that just a few short weeks before his demise, he had told his brother that if something had happened to him, it would not be an accident. We see that over and over again, don't we? As a matter of fact, there was a few years ago, I remember the case about 10 years ago, somebody that's working with the BBC, MI5, MI6, or something like that. And a similar situation to this, they had become a whistleblower, and somehow they ended up dead and stuffed in a suitcase. And so I call it the spy in the bag case. And everybody was looking at this and saying, come on, you know, you can't die from being stuffed into a suitcase and sealing yourself in there. And it was so ridiculous, everybody was laughing about it. So what they did was the British spy agency hired a small woman who was a contortionist to get into the bag. And oh, by the way, his fingerprints were not on the outside of the bag either. But they hired this woman to get in the thing and to zip it up. It's like, okay, well then she can get back out again if she zipped it up. And let's see you do that without leaving any fingerprints on the outside of the bag next time. But she was way smaller than this guy was. I mean, it was just ridiculous stuff. There was another one about a Hollywood writer who got wind of some stuff that was happening with the CIA. And he was writing about it, and he told his friends he was getting death threats and things like that. And then he just disappeared. And a decade or so later, they found him. His car was in the water where there was a bridge, but there was no, he didn't go through the bridge. Nobody ever, he didn't break through the railing or anything. There's no sign that he'd crashed off of the bridge into the water. The car was just in the water under the bridge. And when they pulled him out, his hands had been cut off. Maybe that explains how he drove the car into the water. Had no hands, right? And you see this stuff all the time, and it's absurdly put out there as if it's suicide. It's just amazing. You know, we're supposed to, you know, artificial intelligence can't hallucinate any better in terms of coming up with improbable stuff than these people. Casolaro's death and the theory that he'd been murdered soon became local news, since he hadn't been any old scribe. By 1991, he was knee-deep into reporting on a supposedly bombshell story about a multi-tentacled conspiracy that he referred to as the Octopus, which involved software engineers, businessmen, drug dealers, gun runners, organized crime, the CIA, FBI, NSA, isn't that redundant, organized crime? I mean, and various individuals related to the Ronald Reagan White House. Casolaro had stumbled upon this while employed by Computer Age, a newsletter about computer business, and it all began with Inslaw, a firm founded by Bill Hamilton that had created a revolutionary nationwide criminal case tracking system for law enforcement agencies known as Promise. In the second year of a three-year contract, the Department of Justice abruptly stopped paying Inslaw for Promise, forcing the firm into bankruptcy. Heated lawsuits and telephone threats to Hamilton ensued, all of which were so over the top that it made Hamilton and those aligned with him, including former Attorney General Elliot Richardson, suspect that the DOJ was up to something that was much dirtier than Watergate. Well, you know, we know Ron Contra, we know about the, Bill Casey, Reagan's guy that he was his campaign director, and then he became his CIA director, and and what he was doing with Iran at the time Reagan was running in 80 with the hostages. Anyway, what he believed he uncovered was a web of interrelated offenses that suggested a clandestine world of spies, wheeler dealers, and psychos. We're describing the federal government here, aren't we? Just in general, determined to wield power in the shadows. Casolaro eventually planned to write a book about all this, only to die before this came to fruition again. You know, cutting both wrists so deeply that he cut the tendons and blood all over the place before he got to the bathtub.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. people have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.